Let's get to what we came here for this morning. It was nice prayers, nice manifestations. Owen, the title is Consider Paul. I have to tell him because he wants to know. It's turnabout is fair play. I'm always asking.
I get it now.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This teaching has kind of been a work in progress because of the fact that I heard a recent teaching that the Hot Bible Whole Hog Roast. I've got to get that title correct. Randall Misak taught on, I think it was one of the opening nights, about prayer. And boy, that really got me stirred and going after that teaching. And then I bought his book. I had never read it before. And then I read his book. But regardless, that teaching of his was it was quite an eye-opener for me. And that's sort of what got me started on it. But then as I got going through his book, Julie and I have also decided that we're teaching this summer as part of the Bible study summer school, the mystery. And so it really put into play for me a lot of things in regards to that. So it's kind of a conglomeration of a few things here, but the title, regardless, is Consider Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, is first of all, Paul wrote this. Well, God told him what to write, but in 2 Timothy 1:1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. That's quite an eye catcher. This is according to the promise of life. And then it says in verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, and without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So you see, this is Paul's confession here that what he does, that's why I said consider Paul. And then you move on to verse 7, and he instructs us, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then this kind of caught my attention because it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And, you know, we can get caught up in our lives sometimes with things that we think are so important. We can get caught up in our lives at times with things that we think are such a great need. But yet, here's this man that in this verse, he tells you he's a prisoner, right? And I guarantee you, his prison situation was not as comforting as the prison situations we have in our country nowadays. Not that they're good in any means or stretch of the way, but I can't for the life of me imagine that they were great conditions to live in. Yet he was able to still his mind, and he prayed. Look at verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And a better understanding and translation for that portion is able to guard the deposit entrusted to me. So, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I'm able to guard the deposit entrusted to me. Well, he did have a great deposit entrusted to him. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the what? Yep, how vitally important that is. And the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then verse 7, I thought was very interesting to read, because it says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." And we certainly need understanding. You know, we go through life, and a lot of times we just don't understand. We don't, you know, at least I don't. And I need answers. But what was remarkable to me about Paul, how he's able to write these things, yet knowing the situations that he is in, it's just something. And you can't help but realize when you're reading the 2 Timothy, also lies 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is vitally important instruction. And coming from a man who's a prisoner, you know, I got other things to work on, like getting out of jail. You know, yet his focus can be somewhere else. And then you also can't forget part of this Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, you know. So let's look at Acts chapter 9, because we're going to consider Paul some more here. Acts chapter 9. Verse 1. Acts 9, 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, so that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" So as you see, as we're reading here, this wasn't the Paul that we've been seeing about a little bit earlier. He was committing men to prison. He was not doing good in the slightest. Anyways, "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And it was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." If I'd been in that situation and then all of a sudden was blind, I'd be a little, I don't know where all my head would have been. You know, like, am I ever going to see again? You know, he didn't know what the outcome, where he's going to be. But anyways, "there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth." And that's a good thing. I like seeing that, and again, this is kind of how I got seeing these portions, because I was looking at praying. And it says, "He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem there, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." And Ananias had every right to have this conversation with God. And isn't it pretty cool to see this instruction in the scriptures that, you know, he questioned God on what he should do and what he'd heard. He asked him. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And that verse really got my attention when it says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And we get so caught up in our prayers sometimes of just, I need this, I need that, and God will, and we kind of forget, here's this man that, as you know, didn't have always the greatest situations going on in his life. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. I'll show you some more. Ephesians 6. This is coming from a man that really poured his heart and life in, and he wrote all these epistles for us. God gave him a revelation. Yet it says in 6:18, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Therefore I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There it is. He's in bonds. Again, you know, we can read over these portions in the epistles as we're trying to get instruction, as we're trying to get learning to help our own walks, our own lives, and it's often easy to overlook these great instructional epistles for us are written by a man that's in bonds. You know, how do you still your mind to the point to, you know, so give of yourself even when you got those situations going on? I guess is what I'm saying. Colossians 4, another one written by Paul. Colossians 4, 2. Continue in prayer, he keeps instructing to pray, and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. There he is, in bonds. Philippians 1, 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confidence by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now in Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Again, he was in bonds, but yet his mind could still state this, that God by revelation told him what to write. This just amazes me to see this. This section, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, every time I read this, it really shakes me when I read this. I've never been at this point in my life, but it sure always catches my attention when I read this. And again, this is the Apostle Paul that wrote these epistles. God told him what to write. It's instruction for us in the grace administration. And in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 1:8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. I have not been at that point. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. That record just gets me. And then, of course, 2 Corinthians 11. I think I'll just kind of skim over this because I just want to bring reference to the point of what he went through. But this section of 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 12, 10, it lays out a lot of the things that happened to the Apostle Paul, all the things that he had to go through. So, anyways, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians. I just referenced 2 Corinthians. We're not going to read it. It's a long passage. You're familiar with it. I just wanted to bring out the point of all the things he did have to suffer. You know, like we learned about what was going to happen to him in Acts. 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that ye may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things that which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. As you see, verse 2, be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. But yet he gives you the instruction about prayer and what you need to do and where your head needs to be. Look at Romans 15. Romans 15. I'm not wanting to be a Debbie Downer here. But I'm just trying to bring out the point that, you know, our heads can be so focused sometimes on, you know, things that aren't as important as this, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, yes, we have needs, and yes, God meets our needs. Yes, God answers our prayers. And so I'm just trying to show you that this guy had a lot more going on than what I got going on. And anyways, and where his focus was, 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may be with you refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Yes. Now, Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. And this is just remarkable of the revelation that the Apostle Paul received and shared, and to think about the fact that this was hidden from ages and from generations and was not revealed until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul, and what an important thing he had. Verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, we just can't stop on this. We can't stop on, I forget the exact verbiage, the exact words that Dr. Werwell had said in regard the first verse. thing lost is often the last to be regained, and to gain the importance of the mystery. And it even tells us here that, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things, that hadn't been known, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in him, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want that. I want that. And to believe that this was written by a man that had a lot of circumstances going on in his life, you know, that's what really gets me. Look at Romans 1. Romans 1. What I'm saying is, Ron, get your mind off of piddly things that don't matter. There's a lot more important things in life than... Romans 1:14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, do we have something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's look at Jesus Christ. What did he do? Luke 6. Jesus Christ is our example, and he did it so magnificently. Verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you. No, I don't want to. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. If ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye have hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive much again. But love your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I'd say pretty good instruction. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. We just read about love your enemies and bless them that curse you. 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? And if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to him that ask him? Therefore, all things, wherever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We have a lot to be able to share. Look at John 14. This is a very informational instruction. John 14. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And what's interesting here is it's ask in the name with the purpose that God be glorified in the Son, which is different from prayers motivated by desire for things, for pleasure. We're going to cover a few more verses, but you can't ignore this. Psalm 73. This one's a very neat little section. When you're trying to get your head where it needs to be at times, if it's not where it ought to be. Psalm 73, verse 2. But for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You ever been there? Yeah. Me too, sorry to say. But then, verse, 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. It puts things in a good perspective when you think about truly what we have been given and what we have and what we can offer and what's really important in life. You know, it puts a different perspective. And Romans 10. You guys think you know what verse I might be going to? Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And just as the Apostle Paul was given the revelation of the mystery, how he was given the revelation that we're part of the one body, you know, this is how people get in. And I don't know anything of any more importance. Look at Romans 5, a couple chapters back. Romans 5, verse 9, says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Would you say that's a pretty good deal? No, I need this thing, and I need that thing, and this is what's really important. We can get so wound up in stuff that doesn't make a... It doesn't matter. I'm not saying we don't have needs. Yes, we do. I understand that. Philippians 2, Just two more places we're going. Philippians 2. I just want to remind you, verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye what?
Shine.
Yeah, we shine as lights in the world, doing what?
Holding forth
the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And I want to close with Mark chapter 8, because this one always gets me. Talk about importance, talk about value, talk about how much does it matter. Mark 8, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Talk about the wealth of a soul. There it is. So what's important? Yeah.
Eternal life.
Yeah.
Eternal life.
God, I thank you so much for the greatness of your word. And thanks for being our God. Thanks for being our Father and meeting our every need. Taking care of us when we do need taken care of. For putting the truth of your word upon our lips that we can share with others and bring deliverance to those that are hungry, hunger and thirst for a knowledge of your word. That we can declare that we know a God and offer a God that brings so much to life. And what's truly important in life instead of wrapped up and caught up in things that don't matter so much. But thanks for the grace and mercy you allow us to walk in, and that you do meet our needs as we walk through this life. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.